Beginning with the Bismillah, this is the Deen Show Radio Show, my brother.
My brother!
Assalamu alaikum, we greet you with the best of greetings, the greetings of peace. Peace be unto you. You're listening to the Deen Show Radio Show. Now along with watching us on the big screen, we have a new addition to the Deen Show. That's the radio show, which will be, God willing, broadcasting weekly. And to follow along, our whole repertoire, our weekly show for the Deen Show, will be at the blog section on the Deen Show. So the TV shows, they'll come on weekly as usual. You'll also have the radio show, which will be at the blog section. The TV shows, if you don't catch us on the TV, weekly we put it out. It's at thedeenshow.com, thedeenshow.com. And now the radio shows will be at the same place, except on the blog section. So you can download it for iTunes, for the iPods, for the podcasts. Put it on CD. Share it with your good friends, your not-so-good friends, your family, your coworkers. Share it with the world. Bump it in your ride. That's right. Throw away all the junk. All the junk in your ride. You know what that stuff is. That stuff that doesn't help your iman increase, but decrease. The stuff that's of no benefit. Play the Deen in your ride. The Deen Show. That's why we've made it so all can benefit. Now, the topic of the day, Jihad Jane. We're going to do this in two parts. First part is with our brother, Dr. Bilal Phillips. Next week, you got to come back. You got to come back next week, God willing, inshallah. Make sure you tune in to the deenshow.com blog section. We'll have it up. It'll be with my brother and your brother, our brother, Yasser Qadi. Yes, right. Talking about the same topic. Now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be discussing Jihad Jane. Not G.I. Ho, or G.I. Joe, I'm sorry. We're going to be talking about this. What's this all about? We'll be right back on the Deen Show.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator. None greater than the Creator.
We're here with our brother Sheikh Bilal Phillips. How are you, Sheikh?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah. And how are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah, it's good that there's modern technology now that we can reach out to you from halfway across the world and we can be together.
My pleasure to be here with you, man.
Now, Jihad Jane. It sounds like a movie's coming out. Have you seen the previews?
Yeah, I've seen some bits and pieces in the news.
But it's not a movie. Something's being linked back to Islam. Now, me and you, we know what Islam is. Now, the media is getting a hold of something, and we want to talk about this a little bit. First of all, I want to talk about the name, Jihad Jane, because we know that many Muslims, people who make that conscious decision to submit to the one God, to turn their life around and to do the good, wholesome things that God Almighty's told them to do, to be in harmony with their very nature and the very laws and commands that the Creator of the heavens and earth, all the good, wonderful, wholesome things that He's told them to do, that person submits to God. But now many people right away, they feel they have to, you know, do some things that might not be in accordance in Islam. Let's talk about this little detail, the name changing. To me, you're our teacher, talk to us. Jihad Jane. Now, we know jihad and we'll get into the meaning of it, but if somebody was to change their name, can you actually put jihad in front of your name? Could it be like Jihad Eddie or Jihad Bilal? Can you do that?
Yeah, you could. I mean, people are called by the name Jihad. I mean, I know some people, Abu Jihad, and or their name is Jihad. They've named themselves Jihad. But, I mean, this whole thing is, you know, it's like G.I. Jane. I mean, this is G.I. Joe. You have G.I. Jane. So now you have, you know, Jihad Bin Laden, and you got, you know, Jihad Jane.
That's what it was, G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They so have G.I. Jane. Coming from.
Yeah, they have G.I. Jane. You know, that was the feminist version, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Though G.I. Jane is really catching it there in the military from what I see in the papers.
Yeah. The people are scared. Some people, you know, can see through this. Some people don't have all the bits and pieces. But we want to give them, for those truth seekers, the people who don't just follow what everything the media says, they want to come to the source. So they want to go to the experts, because a lot of times the media, they won't have the experts on Islam. They have some people talking about Islam and they say jihad, holy war, the jihadists and all these things. So let's start off by defining, what is jihad? What does this mean?
Well, the term jihad linguistically refers to the struggle of any type. It's understood to mean the struggle against evil. So people will speak of, and there are even references made by the Prophet towards, you know, jihad of the soul, where a person struggles with his own or her own evil tendencies, and that's called jihad. That's jihad on a spiritual, individual level, you know. And there's jihad in the family, you know, in trying to maintain a wholesome and a proper God-fearing family. There will be a struggle, which the father, the mother, the heads of the family will have to make in order to ensure that the family functions in a way which is pleasing to God. And then, you know, there's jihad in communities, and there's jihad from societies, and jihad from states, and so it shifts from level to level. It could be a military struggle where, you know, one is fighting against evil which exists in a given area of the world. There's evil which is taking place, and a Muslim country may engage in a struggle to try to overcome that evil. You know, as America sees itself as the world's policeman, you know, it's going into Afghanistan, going into Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. You know, it has used this intention of good to try to prevent possible evil as an excuse to go in these countries. But I mean, from an Islamic perspective, we can't do it where there is supposition and guesswork and political agendas. It is to prevent evil, if there's evil and oppression taking place in a given area, that a Muslim state or country would be required to try to do something within what its scope, what it's able to do. Because there's a general instruction which the Prophet gave, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, that whenever one sees evil, that he or she should stop it with their hands. They should try to stop it with whatever means they have. If it becomes military means, because that's the only way that's going to stop this thing, well, then that's what you have to do. You know, if it is something that you can speak out against, then that's sufficient. So the Prophet went on to say, and if you can't stop it with your hands, then you speak out against it. That's like the next level. And if you can't do even that, then you at least hate it in your heart. You know, so the jihad concept is really a state of mind. State of mind in the sense that a person dedicates his life to God, to trying to fulfill and to follow God's commands, then he or she has to also dedicate their life to struggle against the evil which opposes God's commands.
Now tell us, you said some key words. You said a Muslim country, Muslim state. So is it correct to say it's not up to an individual to go out on himself and to wage war against, or get a group together and go and try to do a jihad like in America? Or you've seen the news not too long ago where a person was allegedly a Muslim was on a plane and he tried to blow up the plane, and he had some flammable item or bomb on him. is this is not acceptable?
It's not. This is not an acceptable method at all. That the process of declaring jihad and engaging in jihad has to be from the from a state base. You know, where there is an Islamic state with a leadership, etc., and those who can ensure that this takes the proper direction and it's done with the proper, according to the rules and regulations that govern, you know, struggles of this nature, you know, this is when it can take place. But just individuals, just, you know, taking up upon themselves to just go out and say, well, I'm going to declare jihad against this country and I'm going to do this, I'm going to shoot this one, or I'm going to kill this one, or blow up this one or that. This is not from Islam at all.
So this has nothing to do with Islam?
No, this is, I mean, this is a root of chaos. I mean, this is a methodology of violent revolutionary types, you know, who may be communists or other types. Mm-hmm. You know, who, you know, don't have any scruples and don't have any rules which govern their actions. As long as they feel it's good, they can go ahead and do it. Whereas from the Islamic perspective, there is scholarship. There is people of knowledge, you know, who have to be consulted. And they're able to look into the circumstance and say, well, yes, this is a legitimate struggle. You know, as a Muslim, it is legitimate for you, you know, to be engaged in this, you know, under such and such a leadership, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But just you on your own, average, you know, Muslim, just taking upon yourself one day to go out and do these kinds of actions. You know, these are, of course, this is outside of Islamic teachings.
Holy war. You heard the word. Usually the media will go ahead and link it back to jihad. Does jihad mean holy war? Does it have anything to do with jihad?
No, not really. We don't have in Islam a holy war. You know, war is either just or it's unjust. We have just wars and unjust wars. But holy wars, where we're going to say that this particular war is holy? No, we don't have that. That term doesn't even exist in Arabic. I mean, that's the Crusades. That's what the Crusades were. That was a holy war, a war which had been blessed by the popes and justified by linking it back to the religion, you know, to make it, as they say, a holy war. But from the Islamic perspective, we don't have a holy war. We have just wars where it is a just struggle to remove some form of oppression, to establish some aspect of justice, to prevent harm, to bring good, where it is necessary to struggle on that level. Then it becomes a just war. Then that is sanctioned by Islam.
Now, we want to hit twofold. We want the media. We want the non-Muslims, our brothers in humanity. And we would love for them to be our brothers in faith if they come to the realization what's already in their very nature, that there is a creator, and that I'm going to submit to him alone. And I'm going to do all the good that he's told me to do. And they can be right alongside with us and be our brothers in faith. Now they're our brothers in humanity, and we want them to understand us a little bit better, because this is something that's going to help us live in peace and harmony. So we want the media to be fair, and we want them to bring experts. So tomorrow, let's say CNN or Fox News or whoever, if they want to get a hold of an expert, would you be available to talk? Because it seems like everyone's talking about Islam except the people that should be talking about it.
Sure, I'd be only too happy to try to help bring clarity to this whole, you know, situation where the media has just really gone haywire, you know, and just, I mean, of course, they're about selling newspapers or, you know, winning viewers or whatever. So whatever is going to catch the fancy of the people, what's going to excite their interest and et cetera. You know, that is unfortunately the nature of the media, that rather than convey what is accurate and what may not be maybe not as exciting, they prefer to glamorize and to, you know, exaggerate issues in order to win viewers and followers and readers.
Ratings, huh? Instead of delivering the truth. That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very sad.
Also, we have to admit, we have some bad apples in every bunch. We love our brothers and sisters that are in Islam, but sometimes people who aren't educated. And that's why they need to hook up with people like yourself and other Islamic scholars who are delivering the true message of Islam according to the Quran, which is the verbatim word of God Almighty, and the authentic teachings of the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was in a line of messengers, just to name a few, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. So he didn't bring anything new. And these brothers and sisters, they might have good intentions, and they might do some things that aren't according to Islam. So how can we reach out to them also at the same time? And we want, A, the non-Muslims to understand what jihad is and what Islam is, and be fair when reporting it. And also our brothers and sisters, giving them advice, because it's quoted that the Jihad Jane had said she felt desperate to do something, somehow, to help the suffering Muslim. So if a Muslim feels like, man, I need to do something, and he feels guilty, maybe he's sitting home getting a big belly, and he just gets excited. He sees a Rambo movie, and then he you know, jihad, and then everybody's saying holy war jihad, and he feels like, man, I got to get out there. So he might do some things that are not according to Islam. Talk to us about this, Sheikh.
Well, the reality is that the situation, the desperate situation of Muslims in different parts of the world, this is something that we are faced with. But how do we alleviate their state? How do we improve their circumstance? It's not done by committing acts of violence against other members of the society, a society where one is living in relative peace. This is not the way that we help them. The way that we help them is to try to get aid to them, to go over and do charitable works, you know, in their areas, whatever. You know, that's, of course, that takes time, that takes effort, that really involves, you know, some sacrifice. Whereas the shortcut, which is, you know, Satan is busy, you know, he'll put that shortcut out there and it looks much more attractive. You know, all you got to do is just get those chemicals together and, you know, do this bomb, and you know you're gonna. It's payback. Mm-hmm. You know they. That's you. You've done something, but you really haven't done anything. Really, what you've done is made the situation far worse than it was before. Because when we look at the ability of those people, you know, who are actively involved in explaining Islam to different societies, countries, etc., around the world, we see that many of the brothers, you know, and sisters who are involved in this effort, you know, have become limited, blocked, you know, banned from countries, these type of things, mainly because of these kind of actions and statements of individuals who are just off track. They have ruined, to a large degree, you know, this, the opportunity for dawah that we had back in the 80s and the 70s, you know, so it is much, much more difficult. So they really haven't done us a service. And those groups that have taken the violent route, like the Jama'a Islamiyah in Egypt, you know, that were shooting down tourists and, you know, executing policemen and even teachers in schools because they felt everybody who is connected to the government is a disbeliever. So that justified their, you know, unleashing violence against the society and anybody in the society virtually. That group eventually, after, you know, some years of assassinations and massacres, eventually renounced what they did and said, we were wrong. We shouldn't have been doing this in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, forgive us, you know.
Yeah.
But the damage was done. You know, and similarly, other groups have come up and the same thing is happening. And unfortunately, there are people with agendas and intentions, you know, which are not good, who will utilize and exploit the ignorance of youth and masses, and direct them into these kinds of activities, which they shouldn't be involved in, but and which in fact end up bringing a very bad name to Islam, and make the opportunities to convey Islam to society, world society, much more difficult. Make those channels narrow, block, etc. So, I mean, my advice to young brothers or brothers who really have little knowledge of Islam is to learn Islam. You know, your duty, what's obligatory on you, when the Prophet ﷺ had said, you know, seeking knowledge is compulsory for every Muslim. That's what's obligatory on you, that you seek knowledge of the religion, you know what it is, and you live in accordance with that religion. And in doing so, you know, you will make a change in the society, you know, a practical, you know, a tangible change. As to these kind of acts, they don't make real changes. What they do is they bring about chaos. They bring about reactions which are harmful to the Muslim community as a whole, you know, as people react to these kinds of operations. So my advice is learn the deen, learn Islam, try to practice it as best as you can, teach it to others, educate others, be an example of what Islam really is. And that will go a long way to carry the message of Islam to the people in the society around you.
You're hearing it here on the Deen Show Radio Show. And this is clearly, as the Sheikh is talking about, this is something that's counter-effective, killing innocent men, women, and children. This is something that Islam condemns. Is this correct, Sheikh?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, the idea of sitting in a plane and, you know, setting off a bomb with people inside the plane you don't know. They have not been involved in any kind of, you know, military action against Muslims or anything like this. And you just go and do this. This, of course, is totally unacceptable. These are non-combatants. And, you know, Islam doesn't permit the murder or the killing of non-combatants. A different thing on the battlefield and off the battlefield.
Talk to us about the mercy that is shown and by the last and final messenger, peace be upon him. Many people feel that Islam is an evolving threat. They hear Sharia, they hear jihad, they hear these Arabic terms. Well, if they just go and dig a little bit deeper and ask the one who created them to make things clear and to come at it with sincere heart, they'll see a different picture. So show us that different picture about the mercy of Islam and some examples through the last and final messenger sent to mankind.
Well, we can see, you know, clear examples in the life of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, when he came back at the end of, towards the end of his life, to Mecca, the land where he was born, where he was driven out, where he and his followers were tortured, they suffered, their properties were taken from them, you know, many of them were killed there, etc. When he came back as a conqueror, where that whole land, the city and the land, surrounding land, surrendered to him. They didn't even have to fight them militarily because the numbers had grown. The Muslims had grown so much, there's no way that they could have fought them. So they surrendered. And the normal practice, which we even find in the Old Testament, is that when you know, as the believers, when you enter into a city of pagans, and, you know, you take over the city, is that you execute everyone, left, right, and center.
This is in the Bible now.
In the Old Testament. You find out many, many instructions to wipe out the people, you know, left and right, and, you know, even the children, the animals, you know, all kinds of instructions like this. Whereas the Prophet, when he came, and the people say, well, okay, what are you going to do with us? You know, you are a relative of us, you know, we're one of our relatives. So he said, you're all free. You're free to go. You know, he let them go. I mean, with a few exceptions, few individuals who had murdered other Muslims elsewhere, okay, they were executed. But the vast majority of the people, with the exception of that 0.1%, were set free. They were, nothing was held against them. They were free to carry on their lives. They want to, you know, remain pagans. Of course, they were obliged to leave Mecca because Mecca was now going to be purified and become a center for the worship of one God, but they would not be executed. They were let go. And that same magnanimity, we see it when Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second caliph of Islam after the death of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, when he entered Jerusalem, you know, after the conquest of Palestine, where the people were expecting all kinds of atrocities, as had happened in the past before, he came in and told, you know, people, of course, that the churches, the synagogues were not to be touched, etc., etc. Nobody was supposed to be killed, you know, and the people were free. And this was their way. And we see again, you know, when the Crusaders came, they massacred people. They as the historians described it, they were, their horses were marching, you know, in the streets up to their knees in blood. Mm-hmm. And corpses. People were massacred there by the Crusaders. Mm-hmm. Not only the Muslims who were there, but also even the Christians that were there because they followed a different sect than the Catholics. Mm-hmm. And when Salah ad-Din came back and took Palestine back from the Crusaders, again, the same thing, even after all of what the Crusaders had done, the evil that had been perpetrated against Muslims, etc., he came in and let the people free. You know, so we see that methodology repeated century after century in the course of various Muslim conquests, etc., that took place, where Muslims have not, you know, unleashed violence against the mass of the population. So this is not the Muslim way, and the Muslim way is one of kindness, of support, of magnanimity, of love. I mean, that has been their way, and that is really what has led to the spread of Islam as it has done over the centuries. And we can see, even in the life of the Prophet, that Islam spread far more rapidly during the times of peace than it did during the times of war. Times of war, yes, they did fight when it was necessary to fight, but when the truces were made, you know, the war stopped, then we found that Islam spread very rapidly. So this is known historically, that Islam spreads more rapidly in peace than in war. So Muslims are, it's not to the Muslims' advantage to be involved in wars, to be involved in fighting. So it's only when it's a necessity to defend oneself and one's faith, etc., that one fights. But otherwise, Muslims, you know, are not about war. We are not warriors per se. Well, we will become warriors if it's necessary, but we are not, you know, just warriors just waiting for the war to come. That's just not the correct picture, you know, of Muslims.
So besides getting the proper education, now they get the education to implement it. What else could those who have submitted to the one God, Muslims, what can they do in times like this to help? Can they get out there? Do they have to wait for someone like you to come to town to give dawah, to invite the non-Muslims to Islam? Can you give some encouragement? And is this something optional, or is it incumbent on every Muslim to share the message of peace, the submission to the one God message, Islam, to the world? Is it on me, you, or just a select few to do it, or is this for everybody?
Well, it's a requirement of everybody, because the Prophet ﷺ had said very clearly, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, had said, you know, talab balighu anni walau aya, convey whatever you've learned from me, even if it's only a single verse from the Quran. So this is a clear instruction to the masses of Muslims that whatever knowledge they have, it is their duty to share it with others, their neighbors, their friends, their classmates, their workmates, wherever they are, to share. I mean, of course, you know, it doesn't mean you're just beating people to death with the religion, but where you have the opportunity to share your faith, to share your beliefs, so that people will come to know it, not necessarily with the goal to, have to convert everybody around me. No, this is not what Islam says you have to do. Your job is just to convey the message. In terms of people's conversion, if they choose, they don't choose, that's up to them. You know, as Allah clearly states in the Quran, you know, la ikraha fid din, there's no compulsion in the religion, that we don't compel and force people to accept Islam. But it is the duty of each and every one to convey that message to those around us, that the fact that Allah has put us in this position, you know, and we have that knowledge, it is a duty on us to share it. And to not do so is a cursed situation, which Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, second chapter of the Quran, has warned people against, that one who hides knowledge after it has been revealed to him is cursed by Allah and cursed by all who would curse. You know, that's a very evil state to be in, that you have knowledge, people are in need of that knowledge, and you keep quiet, you don't say anything, you in fact end up hiding it from them.
Oh yeah, there's some sincere people. I know there is. There's some sincere people that they come to the Dean Show, and you know what? They want to know the truth. And they're getting stimulated here. They're hearing that, you know what? Islam condemns killing innocent men, women, and children. And all the things that they're hearing in the media, they're getting a different picture now. And they're hearing this message. A lot of people are frustrated. They don't know what the purpose of life is. They're not happy. They don't have this solace and contentment in their hearts. And they're looking for it. And now they heard this message. They heard us mention one God. They heard us mention some of the prophets and the last and final messenger. Talk to us. What is this message that you're talking about, Sheikh?
Well, the message is one of submitting one's will to God. The one who created us has a plan, has a purpose for us. We have a mission in this life. We're not here by accident. You know, it is not a situation of, you know, anything goes, do what you want to do. You know, it's just about enjoyment and, you know, to hell with the rest. You know, this is not what life is about. We have a reason for being here. God has put us on this earth, and that reason is about worshiping God, is about attaining the status that the human being is capable of attaining through righteousness. Because it is in righteousness that one ultimately worships God in its fullness. Because worship in Islam, of course, is not just going to the mosque, to the place of worship of Muslims, you know, and praying to God. It is doing good for those around us. It is, you know, guiding others to the truth. It is sharing whatever we have, whatever God has blessed us with others. It is living a life of care and concern for those around us, a life of self-sacrifice, a life of care and love for those who are needy. It is a life which one finds contentment and pleasure knowing that one is doing God's commandments in his or her day-to-day life. This is Islam. You know, it is about worshiping one God. And that worship is one which takes place through one which takes place not just, as I said, you know, in the mosque, but it takes place through one living in all aspects of life, whether it is dealing with one's children, one's wife, one's neighbors, etc. All of that involves worship. Even the job, how we do the job that we do, or school, how do we study, how do we conduct ourselves. It is ultimately about developing the best possible character that we can, you know, and in that development, we come closer and closer to God.
We have 1 minute left. Thank you so much for being with us. So little time, so much to cover. Inshallah, we'll have you back again. Tell us about this Islamic Online University. We're lacking knowledge. We need it, because if we're ignorant, we might do some things that aren't according to Islam. But if we have the proper knowledge, then we'll do things the right way, God's way, Allah's way. Talk to us about this Islamic Online University.
Well, alhamdulillah, thanks to God, I've had the opportunity to set up a university online where courses are offered free. There are free short courses which lead to a diploma or a certificate, you know, about 20 of them covering various aspects of Islamic learning. Many of the courses are taught by me and as well as others. These courses, currently we have over 20,000 students from all around the world engaged in doing these courses and learning about the religion. And this month, we also began a BA, Bachelor's of Arts in Islamic Studies, again, tuition free for anybody around the world. And we have all of the classical subjects of Islamic learning being taught there. So one has, you know, a wonderful opportunity to learn about Islam, especially many Muslims who don't have the chance to go to classes or go to universities or go to schools or travel overseas, etc. You can do it from your home. It's there on IslamicOnlineUniversity.com. You can go in there and register and start gaining knowledge.
We started with peace. We end with peace. Peace be unto you. Thank you for being with us. May God Almighty, Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, reward you in abundance for being with us here on the Deen Show.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator.